Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Have you been finding that transforming your marriage can feel like you're pissing against the wind at times? Have you found that for all your good intentions, the positive response that you're so deeply yearning to evoke from your queen, from your marriage, from your sex life, from your communication, it just isn't going as sweetly. It isn't going as positively as you would love to have imagined, as you wanted. It can be a deeply frustrating experience for a lot of guys. The key thing in all of this transformation journey is, well, there's number one, is to implement the most powerful strategies, the most powerful approaches. This episode today is a follow-up on the episode of it was 2 weeks ago. That the title of that was End Suffocating Self-Doubt in Marriage by Activating these six dormant superpowers every husband has but rarely uses. So they go hand in hand. That episode 2 weeks ago, that was to magnify, place your awareness 100% on the epic shit that does work. But maybe of equal importance is, well, what are the six aspects that are the polar opposite of those six dormant superpowers? You really want to be able, you know, you can be trying to implement the good stuff, but if you unwittingly are making these six mistakes, the most unsexy, untrustworthy mistakes husbands make when trying to save their marriage, if you're making these mistakes but you're not noticing, it's like you're unwittingly evoking the off switch. You're turning your queen off. You're turning her trust center off. You're turning her sexual attraction center off. You clearly don't want to be doing that. So it's a really high leverage thing to be able to categorize these six major mistakes and to be able to spot them yourself in your everyday life. And as you're listening to this episode here, yeah, I do encourage you to lean in, as always, heroic humility, coming from humus, the ground of truth of where you're truly at. You know, sugarcoating, it's learning to ferociously love and accept yourself is a powerful thing, but the foundation for that is to get real with where you're truly at in a non-judgmental manner. There is no pressure on you. You know, this is a wonderful opportunity. The entire transformation in your inner world that is necessary to transform your marriage and in your outer world, self-awareness. Awareness of what is happening or not happening in your nervous system. That's the foundation for it all. So it's nothing but positivity and massive, beautiful change that's going to happen over the course of this episode. Lean in fully, be radically honest with yourself. No bullshit, no sugarcoating it. And yeah, you're going to be setting a foundation for the greatest transformation possible to happen. So let's go. What the first major unsexy, untrustworthy mistake that husbands do when they're trying to transform their marriage is they start lost. The first superpower was clarity. The major mistake is what I call LOST, an acronym, lack of specific target. Guys can go gung-ho, I want to change, we've got to change, very, very often, a high percentage of the time, not all the time, but a high percentage of the time, it's our queens that have, you know, filed for divorce, have spoke about separation, have lost her shit for the umpteenth time, and you get this feeling that, no, she's actually real this time. She's really drawing the line. And the unwitting focus is put on all the problems. It's a problem focus, and you don't know what you're wanting to progress towards. So in not lining up what you want and not getting clear about what your queen wants and what you want together, there's this problem focus, which is unsexy. It's not enjoyable. You end up talking about conflict all the time. You end up talking about the problems. And yet the great masculine medicine for, well, for yourself, but the masculine medicine for your queen, for your marriage, is to lock in on the best case scenario future and go for that. The idea of 10 billion jigsaw pieces in your reality, but without having the box, the image on the jigsaw box to go, that's exactly what I want, and it makes sense out of the 10 billion, you know, jigsaw pieces you're going to see in your everyday life and reality. You're like, I don't need any of the 10 billion pieces. I need those 1,000 pieces. It takes the chaos out of reality when you know what you want. So that's one major mistake that the vast majority of men, when they're with great intentions trying to transform their marriage, they make that mistake and they don't realize it. They don't know. I'll ask one question that stumps more guys. You know, the guys come for one-on-one coaching with me or in conversation, and it's like, man, you know, they'll tell me what they don't want. They'll tell me how crap it is. They'll tell me, you know, that they really want to change their marriage, etc., etc. And like me in the beginning, and I get it, I'll stump them with one question. It's like, okay, man, what do you want in your marriage? Tumbleweed. You know, tumbleweed just blowing by. It's like, what? Sorry, I didn't come here to define. I just want to solve my marriage problems. It's like, yeah, but what do you want? So define what you want, get curious about what your queen wants, big it up, make it like a delicious, beautiful, best case scenario, like the sort of, oh my fucking God, is that possible type vision. When you get clear on that, without that, you're going to be unsexy, untrustworthy as fuck, because you're going to be, your awareness is going to be going to the problems, and you're not going to have that vision to drive you forward. Through the darkest of times, his vision lights the way. That's one of the core masculine mantras in the movement. Get that target. Don't be lost. Lack of specific target. Point number two. The second most unsexy, untrustworthy mistake that husbands make when trying to save their marriage is fast fix focus. I love alliteration. Fast fix focus. We all do it. I still unwittingly try to do it at times. It's like this masculine A to B. Rapid, trigger happy, rational minded. She's told me the problem, now let's fix. Solution. Let's get to the solution. But we try to do it too fast. We try to do it too fast in conversation, and we're trying to do it too fast in the global. And sort of the micro is in the conversation, and the macro, the sort of overall marriage transformation, we're trying to do it too fast. There's super simple, you know, psychological, emotional reasons why we do this. If you are unable to sit, I would say there's a ton of different emotions, but the main emotion that men are running from, and we don't notice, again, this is unwitting, and this is why these are sneaky mistakes. These are aspects of your shadow that, you know, you run from and you don't even know you're running from them. But the fast fix focus is driven predominantly by our inability to sit with a feeling of shame, with a feeling of inadequacy in us. That's what's driving us. That's the emotion, the energy in motion, the energy that puts us into motion to pursue relentlessly a quick fix, that fast fix focus, which the fast fix focus, when we're trying to fix our queen or fix the situation, and we're avoiding sitting and being fully with our queen, seeing her, making her feel seen, heard, and safe, we are like corroding any last scraps of trust that there were. Or you could have been a legend yesterday, and like she might actually be back in the groove. You'll burn up all the trust that you've rebuilt or ever had by always focusing on this fast fix. Stupendously yeah, it's just a progress annihilating issue and mistake that you really need to place your awareness on not doing. There's a really key thing. It's in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu martial arts that I've heard this, but I've heard multiple different versions of this. Speed up by slowing down. It's working. I'm working with a one-on-one client, and he's a top end, has been a top end fighter pilot for many years. He is now coaching the elite best of the best. Super cool dude. It's actually an amazing conversation that we're having together. And when I said it to him, I was like, hey, you need to speed up by slowing down. He burst out laughing. And he was like, oh, Mark, like, it's amazing. It's like, I say this all the time. I train guys in this. I think the term he was using is slow as fast. I believe that's the term. But it was pointing to the same thing. You speed up by slowing down. The major mistake that us men that we do definitely in the beginning, but it's like unwittingly, is with great intentions, we're trying to fix the situation. We're trying to, oh, I listened for 5 minutes and my queen said these things, there's the problem, here's the solution, boom, 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 boom. We're edgy and just really in a needy way trying to force a fast fix on the situation. And what this unwittingly does is it shuts our queen's nervous system down to go anywhere with us. They don't want to budge. They're not feeling seen, heard, and safe. We're trying to force this fast fix on the situation. They're like, this is the last thing I want. So speed up by slowing down. Be fully with your queen. The superpower that we were talking about in this was concentration. So concentration is having your unwavering focus, being fully, completely with your queen. The fast fix focus is momentarily with your queen, but incessantly going to solution, solution, solution. Unsexy, untrustworthy as fuck. You want to eliminate that and practice that unwavering focus, that concentration, being with your queen. Number three, Aram Vasura ambush. What the fuck is Aram Vasura? Aram Vasura is this sexy spiritual word from Eastern mystical traditions. And it means good in the beginning. Aram Vasura is a term that, I don't know, was in yoga traditions. I actually, excuse my ignorance on this. I don't know if it's a Sanskrit term, but anyway, it was for spiritual teachers that they would use this to describe this idea that, you know, all of these students that were coming, they would come with great intentions. It's like, oh, enlightenment. Oh, you know, I'm going to get my life in order. I'm unhappy. And Aram Vasura is like good in the beginning. They coined this term because it was so universal what these spiritual teachers were seeing. Aram Vasura is all the enthusiasm in the world in the beginning. That would burn out quick. They'd get to the kitchen sink phase of the experience, and after a couple of weeks, you know, it's like, after, you know, it's like, oh, I love meditation. You buy the meditation cushion. You get the scripture. You get the whatever. You're like the number one Buddhist, Hindu, number one Taoist practitioner, number one Christian in the world. It's like, oh, I'm praying. Oh, I'm meditating. And then it's just like, it just dies a dead. Aram Vasura, good in the beginning. Unsexy, untrustworthy as fuck. Astoundingly unsexy. Because have you found that? That you end up in this cycle where your queen goes into the four horses of the apocalypse mode and you suddenly show up as a good boy. But you go into Aram Vasura ambush mode, which is good in the beginning. You become a good boy. You tidy up your shit. You're polite. You bring happiness. You're not complaining. You know, your queen said, you're always late. Well, you're on time. She said this other thing and you do that. You know, you take action and you have great intentions and you're being a good boy. But hey, a week, 2 weeks later, you're back to same shit, different day. Put your hands up. Like, you know, 10,000 guys in the room, put your fucking hands up. We end up, we do this. It's Aram Vasura ambush. Lock that word in. It's a sexy word. I like it. Aram Vasura. Aram Vasura. You can even sound intelligent because it's a Sanskrit term and, you know, just any reason to feel good about yourself. Aram Vasura. Oh, I'm guilty of Aram Vasura ambush here. Good in the beginning. If you can't remember Aram Vasura, good in the beginning. You got to eliminate that mistake. This whole big burst of childlike energy, but without the maturing man element of, I'm in this for the long run. I'm going to be with this entirely. It's you and me, baby. I'm not ever going to stop. That's the consistency part, the superpower in the other episode, consistency. Consistently showing up over time. It's the polar opposite of Aram Vasura ambush. Aram Vasura, good in the beginning. Oh my God, but our queens want to scratch her eyes out when they see that cycle. You really need to stop making that mistake. Aram Vasura ambush, good in the beginning. Do the opposite. So point number four, and it goes hand in hand with Aram Vasura ambush that went before. Point number four is dull energy, low energy. Like the average background emotional set point is that, you know, it's mediocre. It's not super high. It's not super low. You're just getting by. The term I use, and trying to get metaphors that, well, just are memorable. Maybe, hopefully, a bit of fun. She'll never like chicken soup served cold. I'm going to be making this a masculine mantra. What the hell is it about chicken soup? Well, the other one version of it might be a bit more bold and provocative and maybe more memorable. I'll see. Chicken soup served cold tastes like piss every time. You're probably asking, like, okay, he's gone all Gordon Ramsay on me. It's like, what are you talking about food for? Well, chicken soup, I took it from the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Chicken soup, it's like, well, I'm vegetarian, so it mightn't work for the vegetarians and the vegans out there. But like chicken soup, it was part of that series by Jack Canfield where, you know, it's like it's one of those homely, lovely emotional experiences, you know, your mom, your granny's like made you chicken soup, this nice broth, and it's homely, it's warm, it's comforting. But it doesn't matter what ingredients you put into chicken soup. You can have organic chicken, you can have the best seasoning, you can put in that super like family secret, like granny died and on her deathbed said, hey, Tommy, you know, here's the secret of the chicken soup. It doesn't matter what the secret ingredient is. If you serve chicken soup cold, it's going to taste like piss every time. Send me an email if you're the one freak that... It's like, chicken soup? I love it cold. What are you talking about, Mark? I don't know. I had lots of chicken soup growing up. I was vegetarian the last 17 years with my queen, maybe a year before that. Anyway, I drank a lot of chicken soup. I love chicken soup. But chicken soup served cold, man, tastes like piss. She'll never like chicken soup served cold. What the fuck does this have to do with marriage? Well, great intentions. Again, the six most unsexy, untrustworthy mistakes that husbands make when trying to save their marriage. Guys can listen, like you can listen to the podcast, you can read a couple of books, and with great intentions, and I dig the good intentions. It's cool. I see you there. I'm a dude. It's my role and position to see you there. Guys that I work with one-on-one, guys in the new training and community platform, it's like, I see you there, man. You're making great efforts. You're making, like, you've great intentions, you know. So that is a wonderful thing. And yet, getting black and white, I'm a results-based practitioner, and I encourage you guys to be results-based practitioners. It doesn't fucking matter your good intentions. To really snap out of this idea that, well, I'm showing up and I'm doing these different things and I'm listening to the podcast. If it isn't working, if it isn't creating the results that you desire, if it isn't creating progressive progress, like that there's progress on a daily, weekly, monthly basis where you're like, well, we were like really not in a great place a month ago, but look at where we are now, where you can feel viscerally, yeah, there's improvement. There's a lot more smiles, there's more communication. And then 2 months later and 3 months later, and you can feel this exponential growth that, hey, you're feeling better in marriage, inner results and outer results. Hey, your queen is feeling better, communication, sex life, etc., etc., etc. If that's not happening, you got to get real. You like, do not remain in this zone where I'm doing all these efforts and like it's on whore. I don't do that approach in heroic husbands. It's heroic. The hero takes it upon himself. You inspire her to show up. You don't require her to show up. And this fourth point, dull energy, is one of the most all-pervasive issues, the most all-pervasive mistakes. It's such an unwitting mistake. Guys don't know it's there. Where it's coming from, I'm not going to, I've done like hundreds of episodes on this point, and it's like one of these golden threads in it all, is the trauma that we experienced growing up. We ended up learning as young boys that super high energy, high vibrations, fucking like you're bringing your joy, you're bringing your happiness, you know, you're bringing your I love yous to the world, and mom, dad, stepdad, whoever the hell, they shut us down. We're singing, oh, can you quiet down? I'm trying to, whatever. You know, I'm trying to listen to the program. I'm trying to, when we're having these outlandish, beautiful, expansive experiences of emotions earlier on, we're told it's too much. We're not, like, we're being too much. We're being too loud. We're being too boisterous. We're being too physically active. We're told to sit down and be quiet. Like, dampen down your emotions is what's been said. All of that emotionality, it's too much, which means we take it on ourselves that we're too much. So we turn the volume down, and we end up doing the same with what I don't like calling them negative emotions, but the more challenging emotions, the emotions that, you know, sadness, grief, anger, all those juicy ones that have so much wisdom packed in them. We're told we're not enough. Boys don't cry. You know, like, don't be upsetting your mother, etc., etc. So we end up going, wow, intense emotions aren't welcome. I'm either too much with the high vibration emotions or not enough with the low vibration emotions. And there's wisdom in all of the emotions, but we are told that you're not enough or you're too much. So what do? We try to get this line in the middle where I'm not going to go too high with the vibration and emotions, and I'm not going to go too low. I'm just going to get the Goldilocks just right, where nobody really picks up that Mark is too much or too little. He fits in. He has fit the family mold. The mold where we all know when you're in that zone there emotionally, you're not going to create too much attention. You're not going to need too much, you know, focus your side. So well done. You know, it's like you're a functioning member of this profoundly sick society. And it's a tragedy. So one of these all pervasive, like, it's, we don't notice it because, you know, does a fish notice it's in water? Even, I don't even know if that makes sense. I've read that one. I'm using it because other people have used it. Maybe fish are perfectly aware of water. How the fuck do we know? Anyway, but it's this idea that fish in water, it's like, it's so in water. Water is just an entire part of its existence. Does it even know it's there? It's like air with us. It's so all pervasive in our experience, yet air, you know, like, apart from when the wind blows against our face, our emotional set point makes a difference. And if you're coming with that dull energy where in younger life you didn't feel that you could bring passion and joy in these beautiful high-end emotions, it's, you will try and practice new mindsets, new ways of communicating, new ways of approaching your queen in marriage, but you'll be trying to serve chicken soup cold. You will say the right thing, but if it's landed, again, the best ingredients in the world, you know, the chicken fed in your backyard, organically grown with grandma's from the deathbed secret ingredient that she entrusted into you, but you make it up and you serve it cold. It's not going to work. Chicken soup served cold tastes like piss. You got to bring all your new ideas, all your new ways of speaking, all your new mindsets. You got to serve it with high energy. Oh, but I'm not that type of guy. That's persona. That's personality. We turn the volume down. You generate it. Generate happiness. Not for whore. Just for life, for being alive. Bring it back online. Turn the volume up. Enthusiasm and theos, the God within. It's as sexy as fuck as a mode. And don't expect her to just be your mom and go, oh, you're happy now, I'm going to receive you. No, this is... Don't actually do it for your queen. Do it for you, man. Be a man living daringly. What's the most daring thing as a man is to bring your authentic truth back online. And your authentic truth has a lot of juicy, beautiful feeling emotions in it. Oh, but I'm not that type. You learn that shit. That's persona, personality. Personality, your personality, every man's personality, comes from persona, mask. You put that mask, the mask of who you have come to believe you are, you put that as a mask on. It's not the real you. It's like a cemented together bunch of coping strategies to get through childhood. That's it. The unsexy black and white truth. That's who you are. And if you fight tooth and nail, guys will say, oh, but I'm not that type of guy, Mark. I don't have those emotions. Like, you learn to lock those emotions away. And when you lock those emotions away, your queen isn't going to switch back on, because your queen needs to feel excited about the future with you. Especially if you've went into a rough time. It's like the emotion that comes online through me. Guys, if you met me 6 years ago, this passion, this daring, bold courage, this energy, I was suppressing so much of it. And it was through men's work, deep work, just dropping my fucking balls, having no idea what the result was going to be with my queen. But I'd bring my daring. I'd bring this. I just would go. I started treating each conversation like, hey, it's sort of like this mad, exciting, put it all out on the table. Like it was the cup final every single time. It's like the most important match. It's like I treated every interaction with my queen with, if this was the last time I was speaking, I just want to make sure that I am clean and clear within myself, that I've brought it all. Hey, it worked. But what I stopped doing was I stopped serving chicken soup cold. I brought emotionality. I brought passion. I brought love. I brought joy. And I was not looking at her face to give me permission to do it. I would bring it anyway. She was pissed for a multitude of different conversations. But hey, every single obstacle, I met her challenge. I became the source of my own inner chemistry of joy, of wonder, of happiness, and I did whatever it was. And from there, anything can happen. So stop serving chicken soup cold. It tastes like piss every time. Major mistake. But you have it available in you. Press the generate button. Masculine practice is you generate it. If it's missing, generate it. Point number 5. These are big ones. This is class. This is so juicy. So number 1, lack of specific target. Number 2, fast fix focus. Number 3, armvis your ambush, or good in the beginning if you want to go with less syllables. Number 4, dull energy. Number 5, this is massive. Listen up. Do not go into trance mode in this podcast ever. Why? Because unwavering focus is the name of the game. That's masculine practice. Number 5. Are you ready for it? Have you sat back up? Are you waiting for it? Are you salivating? Are you sending me an email going, Mark, just get the fuck on with it? Big promises, zero progress. The fifth most unsexy, untrustworthy mistake that so many men make is big promises, zero progress. Promises aplenty, very little progress. And I'm talking about meaningful progress. The episode 2 weeks ago, the dormant superpower was competence. You can go back and listen to that. There's a lot to say and powerful ways to tap into the competence that you have already brought to life in other roles outside of marriage. But big promises, zero progress is astoundingly untrustworthy. It eradicates any hope that your queen has of you ever getting your shit together finally and getting on with life. Big promises, zero progress. It's a part of the investiture ambush. There is a subtle overlap on these, but in the competence part of the superpower, I'm going to bring like the big promises, zero progress, where, yeah, I'm going to be better. Yeah, I'm going to listen. Yes, I'm going to practice curiosity. Yes, I'm going to like slow down and be way more present with you when we're making love. Yes, I'm going to be patient with the kids more often. I'm going to stop losing my shit with them. Yes, I'm... Okay, so you get it. Yeah, I'm going to take care of the family finances. I'm going to do that budget. And then tumbleweed. Big promises, you might do it for a little bit. But the big promises is followed up with zero progress. And it's a thing of competence or lack of. And, you know, the same shit, different day, incompetence. Man, that just drives them insane. Now, there is this super popular thing, and you'd hear it in Getting Fit. It's like this thing that most people have heard. No pain, no gain. I'm like, I want to go to a different pain on this, because a lot of guys will like, no pain, no gain. Mark, there's plenty of pain in my marriage. And there's no gain. I'm going through the pain of having these conversations. I'm going through the pain. I'm actually, you know, approaching the topic. I'm not avoiding anymore. There's plenty of pain, but there's no gain. So no pain, no gain. Like some guys might get confused with that. I'm going to go with no train, no gain. That should really be grammatically no training, no gaining. Grammatically training, it works. ING with train works, but no gaining, it just gets funky. No train, no gain. And if you English professors out there with a deep interest in the English language, well, you probably are repulsed by how I speak a lot of the times. I've been described as a crass Irishman before. Chad, if you're still listening in, I love you, man. I still love you for bringing that term to me in that email before you signed up. No train, no gain. Big promises, zero progress is based upon, you know, you make the promise, but you don't back it up with finding ways to train your nervous system. Your entire marriage is created from your nervous system. The foundational point in all this work, and it's so freaking foundationally simple, and it eradicates 99% of the chaos of your married life when it's this. Your body is constantly transmitting a message that is evoking a response from your queen. Will you eliminate the evoking a response from your queen part? Because 99.9% of guys focus on that and they get pissed off and they start trying, wittingly or unwittingly, directly, indirectly, trying to change their queen's, the message their queen's nervous system sending out. Oh, you're always unhappy with me. Oh, you're always doing this. You're always complaining to try to eliminate that. No, don't do that. Do not do that. Unsexy, untrustworthy. You inspire them to change. You don't require them to change. Masculine practice is having the courage. The courage to lead. You take the load on yourself. Heroic husbands. You know, Gladiator in the film. Right, guys? You know, when we go out there, I'm going to wait and see how you're going to attack it. And then, you know, if I don't see that we're doing it together, you know, I'm requiring you guys, you know, I'm not going to lead this, but no, he fucking gets out there. He goes like an absolute badass and he inspires them. That's masculine leadership. So big promises, zero progress. You need to train your nervous system. Your body is constantly transmitting a message that's evoking a response. Well, if you train your nervous system, your body is transmitting a message. It's your nervous system. If you train it, well, the message will be different. And if you train it consciously, the message will be more inspiring. And the more you train your nervous system to transmit a higher quality message, it's like night follows day. Progress will happen. You will inspire a change within your queen's nervous system because your body is transmitting a message. Higher grade of message, higher grade of response you're going to evoke from her. This is so rudimentary, simple. It's simple as fuck, guys. But one of the major mistakes is big promises, zero progress. And underlying that is guys aren't training their nervous system. Not as consciously, not as rigorously, not with anywhere near the commitment that is necessary. That's why we formulated Heroic Husbands to be a training, practice and community platform. And it's working astoundingly well. It's early days, but it's training. Training, lock that in. No train, no gain. You need to train and lock it in. Hey, the platform is there. So big promises, zero progress. You really want to snap out of that. That like is just driving your queen insane. And if her eyes start looking for another suitor, that she's like, well, I've suffered these 10, 20, 30 years with Tom, with Mark, with Mike, with whoever it is that she wakes up every day. With, if she starts looking on the market going, hey, happily ever after, I want some of the good shit that I'm reading in my novels, I'm seeing in these romantic movies, I just want some of that good shit. Hey, big promises, zero progress is a major mistake that you need to eliminate. That's number five. Number six. You're doing epic, guys. You're sticking in. This, I salute your power and your strength to endure, to listen in, to be hungry for this high leverage information. It takes spiritual balls to do this. This is the uncomfortable episode. This is the placing the entire magnifying glass on the shit that just ain't working, on the mistakes. It's like where you have yet to master or transform. Point number six. You badass mother truckers around the planet. The sixth, and it's in no list of orders, not the number one was the big King Kong. They're all King Kong massive mistakes. Lone wolfing. Yes, if you've been listening in, you'll hear me speak to this. It's a major mistake. It's a catastrophic error. The dormant superpower that we spoke to in the other episode was cooperation. Men start transforming their marriage with a relative ease. It's intense. But it becomes easy. It becomes a repeatable process where you're like, yeah, if I just keep showing up like this, it just keeps getting better. A little bit better every day. You mightn't feel such a change in 7 days, but man, you go 7 weeks and it's substantially better. You go 7 months, it's, oh my fucking God. My queen is crying in my arms. She never realizes that good. Lone wolfing does not support that type of change. The literal power to inspire your queen to spontaneously cry, to tear up because she has realized how much hopelessness she was experiencing. And the only reason she can realize how much hopelessness she was experiencing in the past is that it has over time become so damn good again that she never realized how much pain she was carrying in her nervous system. That shit happens. I hear it all the time with guys. Guys tear up as well. Yes, big tough guys. I know we've been conditioned to pack away the tears. Boys don't cry. Men don't, you know, don't be a pussy. All of that shit. It's bollocks. When you're super inspired, I've teared up with my queen, with my kids, where I'm like, I just can't get enough of being with you guys. You know, I was speaking with guys there, some coaching clients, and one of the guys was, you know, he's 7 weeks into his program with me, and he's like tearing up. He's like, Mark, I just, you know, before I joined your program, it's like things were so bad. It's like I was working away as much as I could, you know, just working like months away, if I could at all, because it just had become so bad. You know, I just, it's like now I cannot wait. I cannot wait to be home. I am relishing that. Tearing up. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. However, lone wolfing does not open this to you. And lone wolfing is unsexy. It's unsexy and untrustworthy. If you don't have the humility to reach out to, and hey, it helps when it's another guy. It's an age-old principle in society, in our ancestors. Men heal with men, women heal with women. But if you don't have the self-esteem, if you don't have the courage to go, right, enough is enough, I'm going to reach out. I don't have to do this alone. Doing this alone, hey, it just isn't going to work. And if it sort of seems to work, it's going to be so fucking frustratingly slow that, man, it's just not going to inspire. It's off the fucking charts. Inspiration is what you all need to bring on board. Why? Because you don't know when you're going to die. You don't know if your queen's going to die. You don't know when this game ends. You don't know as you're sort of doing the painstaking slow. I've had that. I want to say this again. I don't want to speak unkindly, but I don't want to be unclear. I cannot afford to be unclear with you guys. I've had too many guys that have reached out to me. Too fucking many. And I don't say it as a criticism. I get it. You're listening into the podcast. You're doing your best. But you're lone wolfing. Ultimately, lone wolfing. And it's like so many guys get to me, and when they're on the application call, they're like, oh, you know, it's like my one of my first questions is, hey, man, just let me know. Like 99% of guys, it's, you know, it's listening to the podcast. They're like, oh, man, I've been listening in for 18 months, 1 year. Some guys have been listening in like from very, very early days. I've been listening in like two and a half years and love it, man. Can't get enough of it. But they lone wolfed. Deep shadow patterns of trauma that without the external support, without a support of guys to give them that radical feedback in a way that would could slice through, you know, 3, 4, 5 decades of trauma and get them, shift them in a very short period of time to a different state of being. Again, the dull energy, shift out of that. Without that external support, because they were lone wolfing, it's like, oh, you know, she's finally, she's had enough. And then they come and go, Mark, like, I need one-on-one and whatever. It's like, you know, can you help me? And they have this deep grief. It's like, oh, Mark, if had I just reached out to you. And I get it, guys. You know, it's I get it. But the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. I do really put the challenge out to you. Lone wolfing doesn't work. Cooperation is the dormant superpower. As kids, we cooperated. As kids, we achieved epic shit. Cooperation is this natural thing. We've went through an entire fucking education system that calls it cheating if you ever gain support from somebody else. Just the education system has conditioned us. If you gain support from anybody else, like, you get eliminated from the game. Any wonder we're so fucking individualistic and we don't know how to be team players? 9% of leadership training that we have to fucking pay top-end leadership gurus to come into our businesses is to teach them how to cooperate. It's to re-bring that dormant power back online. Great CEOs, they're team players, they don't lone wolf. Great leaders, they don't lone wolf. Great team players, they don't love lone wolf. If you're lone wolfing, man, that's really, really untrustworthy, and it's not going to bring your marriage back online. So I lovingly place the challenge to you. It doesn't have to be with heroic husbands, but hey, man, it's like if you're listening into the podcast and you're deeply inspired, but reach out. The training, practice, and community platform, it's off the charts. It's exponentially getting better and better and better and better. It's the best of everything that we've learned. It's the like synthesis of everything in the podcast that has been put forward thus far, and it's rapidly speeding up in the power and the precision of the teachings that are coming through. Like One King's coaching call, that's the one space where you get for a ridiculously small investment every month, you get the several times per month a chance to be coached directly by me. 10-15 minutes, guys, it's night and day what's happening in your nervous system. And when you start vicariously looking and listening to other guys being coached, it's a really high transformative octagon of inspiration that's happening to bring your best back online in a really powerful way. But lone wolfing, doing it in privacy of your own mind as you're out walking, jogging, hey, listening to podcasts, it's cool. And I honor you for listening in. It's an intense podcast to listen in. It's no bullshit. Yet, if you just stay there. So I set that challenge down. Best time to plant a tree 20 years ago. Best time, second best time today. Best time to transform your marriage. You and I, if we could go back, if I could go back 17 years, you could be 10, could be 20, 30, 40 years. Doesn't fucking matter. The next best time is today. So I challenge all of you to slow down with this. Take a chance. Get into the podcast description. It's in every. Sign up to the email list. If you have it available, you feel really inspired. If by pure necessity, there's the one-on-one coaching. There's a free call there. You can reach out for that. Maybe that's something that you are really interested in. Either or, get on the email list. That is going to have you being front of line when the new intake into the community platform happens in about 2 months' time. Get yourself there. Set yourself up to snap out a lone wolfing. It's the most unsexy, untrustworthy mistake that 99.9999% of husbands are repeatedly making. And get yourself the support. Because when you get that support, you tap into and you eliminate, you eradicate all the other problems. Lack of specific target, man. One-on-one coaching, you're in the community, you're going to eradicate that. Fast fix focus, you learn how to be, to concentrate, to be have unwavering focus with your queen, with your kids, etc. Armed Vasseur ambush, you get snapped out of that. The entire impetus within that is like badass guys that are doing it. They're not burning out. They're just getting better and better and better. And the dull energy, hey, that'll be eradicated. And the big promise of zero progress, that just is not going to survive when you're in that community in one-on-one coaching with me. Like, it just cannot happen. We make it impossible for any of these mistakes to live on. So stop lone wolfing. Beautiful kingly brothers coming into landing here. So much honoring for every single one of you. Being a husband, it's like, for me, it's the number one most important leadership position on the planet. It's the most rewarding leadership on the planet as a man. There's no other leadership position on the planet that has more honor and more importance. It's also the single most challenging leadership position on the planet. So I honor the power. I honor your strength to listen in. I honor your courage to listen in. I honor your awareness and your willingness to get real with yourself. You have it here. You've got the things that you need to eliminate. Lack of specific target. Get a fucking vision. Lock it in. Get a one-page document. Fast fix focus. You gotta flip the switch on that and start listening. Shutting the fuck up. Being fully with her and slowing down. The carrot and the stick is you actually speed up the transformation when you stop trying to speed it up. Slow down, you speed up. Number three, Armed Vasseur ambush. Good in the beginning. You got to keep consistency. You really have to keep that. Otherwise, you don't know the time she's going to drop kick you. Number four, dull energy. Chicken soup served cold tastes like piss. You have to bring the high energy. You have to bring the enthusiasm. And you need to bring it over time. Don't be waiting for whore face, whore nervous system to give you permission to feel good, to feel happy. You bring that inner mastery on board. You're happy for no reason at all. Why? You're happy because you're alive. Attack life. It's day one always. Jump out of bed like a man on a mission. Because why? You are on a mission. You have a sacred mission. Big promises, zero progress. No, you gotta train. You gotta find a place where you train. Where you get the training, you get the guys, the feedback that trains your nervous system. So the message your body is transmitting will repeatedly in a recurring manner evoke a response of inspiration from your queen where she like surrenders into your masculine loving and just, yeah, lets loose with you. Laughs, starts enjoying life with you. And lone wolfing, you got to go beyond that. Eliminate lone wolfing and start cooperating. As always, this has been in perfect alignment with the mantra of this beautiful movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.